Time to talk nutrition. We do that with Unetsi every Thursday. And today, talking about coffee. Unetsi, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Wade.
And coffee. I'm guessing there's good in coffee, but I'm guessing also possibly bad. You tell us.
The good news is I think this is a situation where there's more good than bad.
Oh, good.
When it comes to coffee, yes, yes.
Always good to hear.
I think, obviously, for most people, coffee is sort of associated with you either wake up with coffee in the morning, or it carries you through a late night, or you want to drink it with a friend. So there's always in a conversation there's coffee. But I thought before we go into the health benefits, just a little bit about the history of coffee and where it comes from. So apparently, there's a legend that tells there was a goat herder, and he noticed that these goats become very energetic after eating a certain berry from a shrub.
Okay.
And that's sort of how they started investigating that specific shrub. And also then monks used it to stay awake during evening night prayers. And obviously from there, the whole story evolved from the beans being dried, roasted and brewed. And I think obviously, so from Ethiopia where it originated, it really just spread all over the world. And I think today it's, well, at the moment, it's probably one of the most traded agricultural commodities in the world, and with apparently more than a billion cups consumed on a daily basis.
Wow, that's a lot of coffee.
It's a lot of coffee. So the interesting thing about coffee, obviously the one ingredient that we do know coffee have is caffeine. But apart from the caffeine, there's about 1,000 bioactive compounds that gives us the therapeutic effect. So from antioxidant properties to anti-inflammatory properties, anti-fibrotic and anti-cancer effects. And it's even been proven that it can actually be your most antioxidant intake per day coming from coffee, even if you compare it to tea or some other fruits and vegetables. It is so rich in antioxidants, a coffee bean. And obviously, it contains the caffeine, but apart from that, a lot of things like magnesium, potassium, polyphenols, and other compounds that makes it so beneficial for us. And I think it's quite amazing if you think about a coffee bean. It really undergoes a metamorphosis. It's from a red berry, and when you dry it, it's green, and then when you roast it, it becomes dark, and there's different types of beans, and every single roasting preparation or how you prepare your coffee will actually influence the biochemical composition of the final cup.
Okay.
But the ingredient that shows the most benefit obviously also is the caffeine. And it seems like, so one of the things caffeine does, it blocks your adenosine receptors in the brain. So that's the chemical compound that promotes sleepiness. So because of the blocking, obviously then you will be more awake, you will feel less fatigue. So that's why people drink a cup of coffee if they feel a little bit tired, or if you have to study or have to work hard. That's sort of why it then's got the benefit. With the antioxidant properties, whether you have caffeinated coffee or whether you have decaffeinated coffee, it doesn't really matter. You still get the antioxidant benefits, and then the studies that that I will discuss a little bit later. Then just quickly, if you look at a black cup of coffee, roughly contains 2 calories, which is actually absolutely nothing. It doesn't really contain fat. And obviously these days, there's very lots of variants of coffee in terms of people add sugar, and obviously all of these things that you can buy from different coffee stations. We don't really want to have cream and syrups and stuff added, because it will sort of counteract the benefit of the antioxidants that you will get from the coffee.
Okay.
Very interesting. If we look at longevity, one of the most important scientific findings about coffee is that it's associated with longer life. So, and there's a very, very interesting article, and so that it's an they call it a major umbrella review about the benefits of coffee, and it's been published in the British Medical Journal, and which is a great journal. If something is published in there, it really means then that it's a legit thing to do.
Okay, yes. So yes, you can take it.
It's very true. So, so some of this show that so between hundreds of thousands of participants, constantly show that moderate coffee drinkers have a lower rate of overall mortality than non-coffee drinkers. Okay. And then the researchers believe that these effects may result from the reduced inflammation, improved insulin sensitivity, obviously all the antioxidant activities, which is the free radical scavengers. That's sort of where you get the benefit of or the mechanism around it. Mm-hmm. And I think important just to know that your coffee consumption, obviously, if you have a bad lifestyle, you can't counteract it with your coffee consumption. It won't really work like that. So it may differ from lifestyle habits, but in general, if we look at a balanced, healthy lifestyle with coffee, it seems like there's really big benefits. And the one that I want to start with is brain function. So we know that it improves alertness. So caffeine can improve your concentration and reduce your reaction time, enhance your mood, and then obviously temporarily improve your physical performance. So very often in some of the energy drinks or things that they use in sport, you will see that there's a decent amount of caffeine in there. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, if we look at the neurological benefit, it actually shows to lowers the risk for Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and depression. And this actually is also mentioned in that article from the British Journal of Medicine. And then the other benefit, so in terms of reduction of depression, it protects your dopamine producing neurons, and it reduces antioxidant stress in the brain, and that's sort of where the benefit comes from. Then, very interesting, in terms of heart health, I think for decades people were worried that coffee might damage your heart, but the consumption was constantly associated with a lower risk of mortality caused from cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease, stroke. So you can really, with a peaceful mind, drink a cup of coffee.
Okay.
So there's really studies that show, and it's so compared with non-drinkers versus people that drank coffee, there was between a 16% and 19% reduction of mortality from cardiovascular risk, and also a 30% reduction of mortality from stroke. Okay. So if you think about it like that, this is large numbers. With the benefit of coffee. I think important, if you are sensitive to coffee, obviously we do get those people that are very sensitive to caffeine. You can expect things like heart palpitations, maybe an elevated blood pressure, even an increase of a feeling of anxiety, and obviously sleep disturbances. So that's if you are a caffeine sensitive person, you can expect symptoms like that. In terms of diabetes, also very strong findings that the consumption of coffee was associated with a reduced risk of diabetes. And if you look at the scientific benefits and the amount, we're talking about 3 to 4 cups of coffee in a day. That's where you will get your risk benefit. And in terms of diabetes, there's a chlorogenic acid that improves glucose metabolism and insulin sensitivity in coffee, and that's how you actually then have the benefit in terms of diabetes. Then I thought this was very interesting in terms of liver health. I think this is the organ that probably benefits the most from having some coffee. And science shows that coffee consumption has been associated with 29% less fatty liver, 27% less liver fibrosis, and 39% less liver cirrhosis. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, when I look at these percentages, I think it's really, really large. We all know that your liver is quite an important organ in the body. So having coffee is really beneficial for us. And then in terms, there's also scientific evidence in terms of cancer protection. So again, high versus low coffee consumption was associated. So there's also different types of cancer. So in terms of high versus low, where there was a positive or a lower risk, was prostate cancer, endometrial cancer, melanoma, leukemia, some skin cancers, but then the non-associated ones where coffee consumption wasn't really beneficial was like gastric, colorectal, and the rectal cancers, and then thyroid and ovarian type of cancer. So it all depends. So I presume you can, this was interesting, but obviously you should be cautious and make your own decision regarding this.
Right.
And then the only risk really that we have of coffee might be things like insomnia, tremors, rapid heartbeats, and then obviously reflux syndrome. So if you have a high amount of coffee, you will reap the benefit, but your body might respond in a certain way because of all the caffeine. And it also all depends on how your body metabolizes caffeine. Some people will be able to metabolize it very fast, others a little bit slower. And so it might differ from person to person. So I think you can figure out what's your perfect amount of coffee that you can sort of consume on a daily basis. And then I thought I'll just share some practical guidelines on consumption. Mm-hmm. So again, it seems like 400 milligrams of caffeine a day is considered safe to use. And that will probably be about 3 to 5 cups of brewed coffee. And I do think if we talk about the benefits of coffee, we should also talk about the quality of coffee. So I think the benefit comes if we talk ground coffee, like you had a coffee bean, you grounded it, whether you use the percolator or a bean to cup machine, or there's a moka pot, there's so many things these days that you can use. But I think that's what we're talking about, not maybe instant coffees, the proper bean to cup where you have the real bean. And then also, again, the healthiest way obviously will be to drink it black with a little bit of milk, preferably not added sugar, because obviously then you sort of counteract some of the good product benefits that we get from coffee. And if you want to sleep at night, I think it's important to avoid caffeine about 6 to 8 hours before bedtime. Mm-hmm. So maybe in the middle of the day, sort of try to if you have to work at night, it's another story. But if you want to sleep properly, definitely stop earlier. And because sleep quality is still the strongest predictor of our long-term health. And then obviously with the way you prepare your coffee is very important. And listen to your body. So if you feel that it makes you more anxious, it's heart palpitations, then obviously you should stop at what amount you had. And I think it's important that we have to remember that coffee is there to complement our health, but it cannot replace something like good nutrition, exercise, sleep, and stress management. So all of those things are very important in our overall health. Even though we've heard that there's so many benefits in coffee, we can't forget the other things that we always speak about in terms of a good balanced lifestyle, and is also very important. So if you have that, and you add coffee. And maybe I think there's also in terms of coffee, people have got a negative perception sometimes about coffee. But there's really good evidence to show if we consume the right amount, we prepare it properly, and obviously we don't flood it with sugar, cream, syrups, and whatever, then it's really a good option, yeah.
Because that almost counteracts the good in the coffee that you have.
Because I'm just thinking, if you, for instance, have a mocha latte with a caramel mocha latte, for instance, it will be for 300 milliliters of full cream milk. There's probably 40 milliliters of syrup in there, plus some other sugar-filled cocoa powder. And all of those calories, it will be a lot. It can almost be like a meal in a cup, if you put it like that. So if you are a weight-conscious person or you want to lose weight, you can definitely not go for that option. You should stick to the Americano with maybe a dash of milk or any of the milk alternatives. If lactose is an issue for you, that's definitely your best way to consume a cup of coffee.
Okay. Yes. And just in a nutshell, as you mentioned, that the coffee that you were referring to was, as you said, bean to cup coffee. Obviously, and I'll use brand names for purposes of explanation, but your Nescafe Classics and your Jacob's Kroning and all of those obviously have got other ingredients as well.
And so, I also think the manufacturing process to get it to that state, I don't know how much of the properties you really
are still left over by the time you get to it.
Yes, that maybe we can actually speak about that another time, because how much do you get from the benefit of coffee from, for instance, the instant point of view versus the proper beans?
So the coffee shops that pop up on the beachfront and all over, the little mobile coffees where they grind the coffee in front of you and brew it in front of you, they are actually, you could call them health stands.
I think so, yes.
Because they,
in some way, they can be a health stand. The other part, it can also be the cholesterol stand. But yes, if you choose the right one, it's the health stand.
Depending which coffee. So they're something to everybody, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes. But in terms of coffee, just if we think about maybe if you want to maybe buy the one with a little bit of milk and sugar, whether it's a latte or what other version. If you are a very active person, that obviously will be a good recovery type of drink to have, because there will be protein from the milk, there will be glucose from the added sugar, so you can immediately replace your glucose stores and use it as recovery so that you will be able to train again. So if you are an active person, definitely not a problem. But if you have a sedentary type of lifestyle, or it's mostly you are office bound, definitely the Americano with milk is what you have to do.
There you've got to go. Yes. Go for the basics.
Yeah.
Interesting. And some people would also argue that the safety of others is dependent on your first cup of coffee in the morning.
Definitely.
Because some people say, well, I haven't had my coffee yet, so you'd better be careful and stay away from me.
Don't interfere with my morning before I had my coffee.
Yeah. You know, we'll chat after the first cup of coffee.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, those are all the ups and downs of it. But Anetsi, an interesting point, some interesting points you brought to us this morning. Thank you very, very much. And on the broader topic of nutrition, if somebody needs advice and your services as a qualified nutritionist, how do they get in touch?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at @Yunetsi.
Yunetsi, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and looking forward to chatting again next week, Thursday.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thanks, Yunetsi. That's Yunetsi with today's Nutrition Chat.